You are listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud, conversations about trauma and healing from two women who are doing the work.
Hey everyone, it's Candace and Cher with Processing Trauma Out Loud. So good to be back with Cher for another episode where we are just going to be discussing a topic that we just really experience often now, and that is called, well, I will say that it's being seen, being soothed, feeling safe, and finding some deep security within our own bodies. And Cher, you have been wanting to, you know, we've been looking at story work themes, and we have had a few discussions about the theme of neglect in our stories. Will you just start us off here and talk a little about, like, what is neglect? What kind of neglect? How do we see neglect? How do we not see neglect?
And I feel like we're going to go more of a personal direction here, more than theoretical, because we've just been in deep conversation and attunement this morning. We questioned whether even to come on and record, and we felt like, no, this is right in line with where we're heading. Like, when we have experienced childhood trauma, undoubtedly there are aspects of neglect, and usually huge. It might be physical neglect, probably it's emotional. I will say it can be both either or, emotional neglect. And we're learning now that childhood emotional neglect is a huge factor in trauma and complex PTSD. This theme of neglect and how neglect shows up in our stories, the impact is huge. And particularly when we have a parent or parents who just consistently miss us, and our deep needs for their connection, for their attention, for their care, for the four S's, right? For to be seen and soothed and safe and secure. But our parents and our primary caregivers just miss that in ways that we really felt that we needed. And when that keeps showing up in our stories, this theme of neglect is very, very significant and hard to name a lot of times, because it can feel like, you know, well, other people have it worse, or this isn't such a big deal, or I don't know why I can't get past this, because we might have had parents that showed up for all the big things. They gave us food, they gave us rides, they paid for our sports, they attended our concerts, whatever. Emotionally, we were left alone and abandoned at times when we were in desperate need of care, and it just wasn't there.
I want to go back to the word attunement for a minute, and I want to explain that as what. So when we say emotional neglect, we're talking about attunement, and this is just a short understanding of attunement. It is your child's inner world. It is seeing their inner world to some degree through their outer nonverbal behaviors. And instead of rushing through it or being too distracted to notice what's going on, you move towards them. Now, some children are going to be very expressive, saying, I need, and other children may be shut down and aren't saying they need, but they do need. The other thing I want to say about this topic, I think this is important, is that we say this over and over again, and we probably always will, because you and I have had to work through the shame and guilt of how we parented at times. And so we hold how hard it is to begin to ask questions about your own parenting. But until we can really get to there, we have to go back to how we were parented.
Yeah.
And in that understanding is, and I know there's percentages out there about how often do you need to be attuned to. I can't remember who this comes from, but I hear it from Adam Young quite a bit, that at least 50% of the time. Okay. So I don't know if that will help you take a deep breath, like, oh no, you know, I don't even have to get it right 80% of the time. But it's not just the 50% of the time. It's actually when you have this new information that if you consistently miss a tune, there's trauma that gets stored in your child's body. But when you are aware that you are misattuning or have or possibly could have, this is where the beauty of all of this comes in. And the hope is repair, showing your child repair, maybe going up to your child and say, you know, you got home from school the other day and I just noticed you didn't come in the door, your talkative, happy self, and I was busy. But I want to swing back around to what was going on with you when you got home from school yesterday. I noticed your face just didn't look as cheerful. This may not seem like a big deal, but it's actually everything for a child.
We've said many times, we came into this world looking for faces who were looking for ours, right? Seeing our faces, seeing our eyes, seeing the emotions that are written on our faces or in our body language. We desperately need that kind of connection. And I will just say, like, when we see it showing up in our parenting, yes, move toward your child with repair and take time to begin to investigate your stories, because when we are habitually misattuning with the people in our lives, undoubtedly we are carrying that theme from our own childhood. And sure. So to go back, like we can become better parents. We can learn new skills. We can learn how to attune better. But when this has been a theme of our entire life, to get the healing we need, we have to go back to our stories and begin to identify, where was I looking for eyes that were looking for me, but I got missed? And then begin to focus in on that story, focus in on those particularities, and begin to, with courage, face what it feels like to see this in the themes of our life.
Emotional neglect is one of the hardest things to name. I've heard other experts talk about this, and there can be a common response. I've heard them say this. Sometimes the child who thinks that they had a perfect home life and a perfect parent, you have to do a little more investigating. So if there's an emotional neglect there, you know, especially if they're showing up with you because they have pain points in their lives, there's questions there that can reveal having the courage to be able to, kind of like what you started with, like, there's no visible reason why I should be struggling. We had everything. And yet maybe, so it's going to go into your attachment style.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have these patterns that keep showing up. And for many, it is emotional neglect. And it's easier. I don't want to say it's easier, but when there's been obvious abuses, those are still hard to name, but it's kind of, we can't deny it. Can we go into a little bit of that? We still, you and I still need this with each other and with our community. And we've actually had a lot of it in the last few days. We both have things coming up where we are being triggered by stories.
Mm-hmm. And that I came to you this morning and said, before we record, like, I need to be seen in a particular place in a story. And then I had to keep bringing you back to, but I need this. Like, I had to just name it. Like, it was hard for us to get there, but we got there. And then when we got there, it was so impacting. I feel like I can say that this will change my life to be seen in this space the way that I needed. But it took us working hard to get there. Mm-hmm. And I want to particularly speak to the person who grew up in the home where there was one parent that was the kind of overt offender or abuser or angry parent or hurtful parent. And then there was another parent that was kind of the good parent. And I'm going to put that in quotations, the good parent, because they weren't overtly offending, yet they weren't looking for your face. They weren't seeing you. They weren't moving toward you with attunement. They weren't. And this is where I think neglect, we are desperately needing to be able to name neglect here. And it is really, really hard when we feel like we are going to be disloyal to the good parent if I name that parent actually missed me too.
You went from, you know, it kind of in your story a little bit, and then, or at least the work that we did together, and then you went right into setting up that specific scenario.
Yeah.
Which is what we've been working through.
Yeah.
So if it's okay, I want to just, I'm glad that you explained it that way, but I want to ask you, in our time together, I felt I was connecting with that girl, and it felt similar. I'm just going to say this. If you have a child that maybe is trying to find out, what do I feel? What do I think? And so that hardness was me moving forward, maybe stepping back, waiting, and then you finding your voice to say, I feel like I need this, and then me moving forward. Because of the age that you work specifically in the story, it was me reparenting her in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to say is, Cher, you kept asking for what you needed, and I kept listening to you.
It is super hard for me. And I think I'm going to pat myself on the back because I did it really well. And it was hard because there were several places that I felt like I could have said, okay, let's move on and get to our, you know, task at hand. But I just felt like I could not, I had to be seen today. I had to, I felt like my little girl was just saying, I have to be seen today. I have to be seen and held in this place and in this space of horror that is so hard. And I know nobody wants to go here, and I know nobody wants to stay here, but I know you can, and I need you. And and we did the dance, like you're saying, like we did the dance, and there was that moving in and backing up and moving in and readjusting, but we got there and we stayed there. And I experienced being seen and held and loved in a place where I needed that so much.
Thank you for allowing me to do that with you. I want to say I felt as I was in that dance with you, I was holding something so valuable. And at one point, I had something. So as I'm still, and I will just say, also praying for wisdom and insight, as I realized, like, I don't think this girl feels really believed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just asked you, or I asked her, do you feel believed? Something shifted after that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It did. Even though in this particular story, there were witnesses, I did not make this up. There were several people who saw, and still I lived with the feeling that nobody believes me. Like, nobody believes that it could be this bad for you. And yes, you tuning into that and asking me that question was very meaningful.
Yeah, well, that little girl had to believe that nobody believed her.
Mm.
For her to believe that, it would have been even more painful to say,
yeah,
people believe it, but don't care.
Right. Mm. So true.
So I want to say to our listeners, you just got to hear a glimpse of what we believe the world is longing for.
To be seen, to be heard, to be listened to be known, to be pursued in the hard places, in the dark places, even in the medium places, even in the light places, right? Like, we've got to start somewhere. But yes, we carry deep wounds that have been hidden and buried and misattuned to for so long. But yes, we are desperately longing for this.
I was listening to a podcast the other day. I believe it was Dan Siegel, and I can't remember who was interviewing him. You know, there's so much more research coming out now about the brain. And back in the 60s, 70s, and even 80s, there was still this overwhelming, like you can spoil your baby with too much love and attention. It's actually just the opposite.
Yeah.
So here's what that means. Those of us in our 40s and 50s and 60s that have felt crazy on why we crave and hunger for attention, then we get shamed because you're acting out or you're being dramatic or whatever. And I'm not saying people can't get stuck in it because they're not getting what they need. These are just opportunities to get what we've always longed for.
Yeah.
You know, if we were not attuned to as infants and toddlers and littles in the way that caused us to have a groundedness and a settledness and a strong belief that not only will we be okay, but even when bad things happen, we're not alone, that lives in our body and our belief system until we experience something different. And I feel passionate about this message because you and I both are in communities of women who are doing the hard work of wondering why we struggle so deeply at times in these areas.
Yeah.
And yet we begin to notice the corrective experiences are changing things.
Yeah. When the power of love enters. And another person draws close and our story gets honored in a new way. Like it just brings healing. It brings repair to deep ruptures that occurred maybe decades ago.
Yeah, it's never too late.
No, that is that is so true. I am living proof.
Yeah,
Candace. So good to be with you today around this topic. And I hope that our listeners can hear this is coming so much from our hearts today. It's, of course, we're sharing some of the informational aspects too, but just really deep from our hearts of our longing and desire for a movement where attuning where others have experienced neglect, where we have experienced neglect, but where attunement can become so much more the norm, where people have skills and we have experienced healing. And there can be amazing ways that love can be able to break through and just bring healing that changes everything.
Yeah, very true, friend. Good to be with you today. And I look forward to our next topic, which I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know.
I was curious for a minute there. What?
But you know me, I'll name it.
Good to be with you too, Candace. And I love you, friend, so much.
Love you so much too.
Thank you for listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud. Make sure to check out the show notes for links to suggested resources and social media. Like, subscribe, and follow to keep up with our weekly content. And if you don't mind, take a moment to rate and review us. Your feedback is extremely valuable and contributes to the success of this podcast. One last thing. If you have found this podcast helpful in any way, or if you have questions on how to take the next steps on your healing journey, please reach out to us via email at candaceshare@gmail.com. That's candaceshare@gmail.com. Our sound engineer is Jeremiah Jones of Auditstory LLC. We welcome you to join us for more conversations soon. Take care.